Have your Bibles tonight. Let's go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. If you have your bulletins there in the back. I'm a little excited. I've got my pre-sermon ready. I went home to this afternoon and Princess lay down and took her nap after we had lunch and fellowship. And I went to my office with my Bible and my computer and my notes, and I'm still working on getting some things from one computer to another computer that I can carry with me when I go out and about, because we live about 20 miles out, and I come in 2-3 days a week, and I usually just pick up my backpack, and my computer's got everything on it I need, it computerized, my books, everything is there, and I just bring it with me. So I'm still working on that a little bit, and then I opened my Bible, was reading a little more, and read a new commentary that I recently downloaded, and I got a little excited about some things I didn't see when I prepared this sermon, and a few other things. I made a few notes and added a few things, and we'll talk about that in just a moment as you turn your way there to 1 Corinthians 9. But we're just family here tonight. I know we got a few people visiting, and we're glad you're here. And also, we've, of course, our church family here, but I had a conversation this afternoon. I'm going to share it with you tonight because it's 6:20. We'll be out of here by 8. Don't worry about it. I was raised a country boy. My mom and dad grew up on the farm. Mom was dirt poor. They had no plumbing, no electricity, no floor in the house growing up. It's just a dirt floor. And then dad, the same way, they raised everything. The only thing they bought at the store was gasoline and sugar. They pretty much raised and made everything else. And when mom graduated, she walked across the platform, I think I told you, with a suitcase in her hand, and she left the holler. Went into the city with her friend and roommate and lived in town and worked, rented a room from a widow lady. Dad, in his mind, has never left the farm. Dad'll be 80 this year. If he had his way, he would still be slopping the pigs and milking the cows and raising the garden. He just loves it. But I said, I'll say this. They moved into the city, near the city, so we could go to better schools instead of being in a rural area. But I've only known rural and country churches my whole life. So I was considering myself still a country or a rural mouse. So let's just be honest and make it easy. How many city mouses do we have with us tonight in our church? Don't be bashful, nothing wrong with it. Just trying to get an idea of here, just a few. So really, okay, a few, not that many. So we got a lot of country mouses as well. But I've never pastored a church in a city. Never in a city bigger than 11,000. That was in Ansbach. Foley may have been a little bit bigger. So I don't think I've ever pastored in a community bigger than 11, 20,000 people max. Now, I said all that to say this. I'm Southern. I'm a country boy at heart. I know that I talk fast at times, and I know that I get excited. I know my culture is a little different, and I hope none of that changes. But at the same time, I want to be able to adapt to the area, not only just Arizona, but other people coming in from retirement. I mean, we're here in Arizona. We're the new Florida with drier climate. And but anyway, so I said all that to say this. Sometimes I'm not sure about things. Don't be surprised if I ask you a question about city life or ask you a question about what do you think about this in the church? Because I grew up in a church that was just different. When I grew up, the only way I could tell the difference between some of the men, because they wore the same bib overalls all week, is they had a white shirt on for church. They were dressed up. That's when my dad grew up. He got a new pair of boots, a pair of bibbed overalls, and one white shirt that wore to all church functions, and he went shirtless in the bib overalls to school, unless he found one or had one hand-me-down or one for the previous year. But again, just the idea of adjusting. So again, thank you for loving on me and Michelle, being patient with us. And then one more thing. Michelle is not my associate pastor.
Amen.
Yeah. If you go to her and ask her a question and she tells you, I don't know, don't be surprised. Because when I talk with the men and others, I don't share with her. When I talk, now, there's maybe some things she might know before you in the church because she saw the order service or something I may have asked her about making of introducing or something. But for the most part, she doesn't know, and she likes it that way. She says, I'm not the assistant. Go talk to the pastor. I remember the first time she said that to a church we were helping, and she looked and said, I'm not the pastor's assistant. I'm his secretary, but I'm not his assistant pastor. I'm not the associate. And when she says secretary, that's just really what it means is keeping me out of trouble and telling me what shoes and tie to wear. Other than that, I mean, really. And that works out really well that I don't have to talk about church problems, and we don't have any. yet. We don't have any. We'll keep it that way. So I don't talk to her about those things because right now they don't exist. And even if they did, I wouldn't talk about it because she's my wife. She's a member. She's my support. But she's not my associate. She's not my assistant of any of those things. Besides that, we couldn't afford her if she was on staff. All right. All right, 1 Corinthians, and let's say just a little bit of this intro or the pre-background information I was reading today. Some of you guys probably already knew this. I probably knew it and forgot it. But anyway, now here as we look at the book of Corinthians, and we're at 1 Corinthians, as I mentioned, chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 24 in just a moment. But just a little background. Corinth was known for the Isthmian Games, which were second only to the Olympic Games in the Grecian and Roman world. It's important that we think about this, of the location, how Paul is writing, who he's writing to, and the terminology that he uses. Everyone in the Corinthian church knew the point that Paul was making because they understood the aspect of athletes and running and fighting and all those different things. Paul says that Christian ministers and that Christian believers can be compared to athletes. So think about that for a moment. My physical fitness, what about my spiritual fitness? He says that a true minister or a true believer of the Lord is to live a life just as disciplined as an Olympic athlete. Think about that for a moment. I mean, they train for 4 years to get ready for the Olympic Games, and then the competition begins. We need to look at ourselves as being in training continually as a Christian and running the good race, fighting the good fight. And let me throw this in as well. If I was sitting down and I asked for all the ministers of Harvest Baptist Church to stand up, we all should stand. We're all ministers in some capacity of ministering to others and ministering to each other. We're in this race together. We're in this fight together as we serve the Lord. Paul also says that we are to keep our bodies under subjection, and we'll read that in just a moment, or control just as much as the athletes. So I'm going to give you a quick free highlight that's not part of the service tonight. But if you want to make a note, I'm going to challenge you to read this chapter a little bit later with some of these things in light. In verse 24, he says he enters the race to win the prize. He's not just entering to be a part and say, I'm here. He's entering to win. In verse 25, the first part, he says he's disciplined in training. He has self-control. In the latter part of verse 25, he runs to obtain an incorruptible crown. There are some trophies in the basement of my mom and dad's house for all the years that me and my brothers and my sister played ball. There's trophies all over that basement collecting dust. Those are corruptible. He's talking about the incorruptible crowns, incorruptible rewards. And in verse 26, he runs not only on the right track, but he also fights in the right arena. Think about that for a moment. He's running on the right track, running, in other words, in the will of God, in the right arena. We don't need to be fighting each other. We need to be fighting the old devil. And in verse 27, he says he masters his own body. And again, in verse 27, he guards his flesh so that he can live what he preaches. He desires to be effective in ministry. Think about that for a moment. What is our desire in reference to the ministry that we have, that you have here at Harvest Baptist Church? He guards his flesh. You know, Brother Sam reminded me before service, I made a comment about our cars, about how sometimes we can kind of be a bit of a ruckus when we get to church and all of a sudden the frowns turns into smiles when we open the church door. He reminded me of a mutual friend who gave the phrase, "You are who you are in your car." Think about that for a moment. Sometimes the worst side of us can come out when we're in traffic or at a four-way stop and nobody knows what to do. I'm still amazed to pull up to a four-way stop and people look at each other like a calf looking at a new gate. They don't know what to do. You know, I want to get out in direct traffic so I can go. I'm eight cars back and only one line is moving the whole time and it's a four-way stop. But, you know, but Paul, you know, reminds us here, he knows where his fight is. He knows where it's not. He knows what arena he runs. And we need to remind ourselves, we are who we are in the car, and people are watching us. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's look at our text in 1 Corinthians. That was free. Wasn't even part of the outline. Chapter number 9, let's begin reading verse number 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. No, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bringeth into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So when you think about it being a sporting event, you think about the Olympics, you think about the race, you think about the good fight, and then you read through that lens, it kind of comes across a different way, doesn't it? Kind of makes a little more sense of what Paul, who he's writing to, and what he's thinking about, and the points he's trying to make. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and once again, we thank you for your goodness, the joy of service, the privilege of service. Father, thank you for your opportunity to be here tonight. Now, bless our time, bless the reading of the word. May you be uplifted and glorified, and may we be challenged and encouraged to fight the good fight, to run the race well. Father, we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Run, Christian, run. What I wanted to do is tell Brother Chris, when I say run, Christian, run, get up and run around the auditorium. Run, Christian, run. We are to run this race below. And I know we'll go at a different pace. I'm not talking about the sprint, but we need to be involved in the race and serving the Lord. We're all in a race as a child of God. And we should run that race with joy and confidence in what God wants to do through us. Paul says, run. And dear friends, Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not. Now, I love sports, and I enjoy getting with Brother Tom over here talking about baseball. And I get out there, and I watch a ball game. I watch a baseball game. I watch a football game. I'm on the edge of my seat. If I'm at the game, they're live. I'm jumping up and down. I'm just really enjoying it. And then something happens, or something takes place, or they drop a ball. And I've been known to think, man, I'd have caught that ball. In fact, some of those dances they do in the end zone, I think I could do better than that. No, I want to be out there. There's nothing like that armchair quarterback. But when we're watching the game, you know, we make second guesses. Or the coach, oh, why did he play fourth and four? Why did he run that? We second guess ourselves. And we need to ask ourselves today, how do we evaluate our game? On Sunday afternoon, what I didn't tell you earlier, often I sit down in my office and also make mental notes that I made earlier, write a little notes about the service and how it went. Maybe some things I could have done different. Maybe some things I could have done better. Maybe some things that maybe ask myself, Lord, show me, did I say anything that might have offended someone? Lord, did I maybe do something maybe I shouldn't have? Did I get ahead of myself? I just kind of rehearse it in my mind to be prepared for the next service or for the next time or what I need to do. And Paul is kind of encourages here and reminded us, we're not to be spectators. I can't get off the couch and get on the ball field anymore. Unless it's a 50s and over league. But until then, there's a race I can run here as a believer until Jesus comes. I'm never too old. I'm never too broke down. I'm never not qualified as a believer to be in the race. But I need to equip myself and be ready, prepared to be used of the Lord. See, many act discouraged or disappointed that they are even in the race to begin with. Maybe even allow minor hurts or injuries to sideline them a little bit too long. Well, I don't know about you. When I was playing ball, you couldn't get me out of the game. I mean, I wanted to play. I remember I busted my chin wide open, ended up having 6 or 8 stitches under my chin. I didn't want to leave the game. We got the blood to stop. I talked to the coach into cutting a knee pad out, put it underneath there, and I put my chin strap back on. I got back on the field. I wanted to play. But we let little things sometimes, so-and-so said something, or I don't know, I think I saw, whatever the case may be. Folks, stay in the race. Stay in it. Run your race. Serve the Lord where the God has put you and say, Lord, help me not to allow an injury, hurt feelings. Lord, don't allow just because I'm not feeling well. Now, if you're running a fever, you stay at home. But you know what I mean? We can still be in the race. In fact, if you had to sit down and prop up your legs because you can't get out like you used to, you can still pray. If you can't stand long enough to teach a class like you used to, you can still encourage, you can still pray. There's something we can always do in the Olympics or in the sport or in the service of the Lord Jesus. You see, as believers, we must run the race that is set before us. We are to run it well. Again, no spectators, only runners. Five things tonight about the race we are to run. Number one, there is simply a place to run. There is a place to run. There in your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll look at Galatians and Hebrews a little later and back to 1 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 1. There is a place to run. You know what's the best place for the Christian to run? It's the same for every Christian. In the will of God. Now, the will of God may be different for each of us, but there are some things that are still the will of God for every believer. You know that for every believer, it's the will of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can't go to Europe or to Asia or Africa, but we can go here in Maricopa County. We can go in Goodyear. We can go in Buckeye. We can go where we live. But we're still to go. Notice what he says here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. See, we are to run. There is a place to run, and that place for us is within the will of God. And if God has put you here and put you a part of the Harvest Baptist Church, your place to run, your place to serve is right here in and through Harvest Baptist Church until he sends you somewhere else. Even on the job, even in the community, an opportunity that the Lord gives us, we should take that opportunity, representing the Lord, representing Harvest, and serving others. But as we run this race, in this place that God has put us, there is a place to run. And as we run, we need to remember a couple things. First of all, God sets the course. Very important. God sets the course, and then God sets the conditions. There are times that we run the race that's well. Things are going well. Everything is going smoothly. In fact, right now, things are going so good at Harvest. Guess what? I expect Satan to pop his head up any time. Any time. He sets the course, he sets the pace, and he sets the conditions. And we've got to remember, I think I've given this illustration before. Some people get saved, they get all excited, and boy, they're off to the races, ready to serve God. But there may be others that are serving the God just as excited, but maybe they move at just a little bit of different pace. The important is not the speed. The important is that we're going in the same direction and we're moving together in service for the Lord. He sets the pace, he sets the condition, and he sets the place for us as we serve. So we have to ask ourselves, if I am in the right place where God has me, am I serving? There is a place to run. God sets the course, God sets the conditions, and God sets the pace. Number two, there is pain in running. Let's talk on the physical side of running just for a moment. Who likes to run? Really? Oh, come on, Robert. You run to the refrigerator. Huh? Me too. I did too. I used to love to run. I remember running until it hurt, feeling like I'm going to die, and then just hanging there just two, three, four more minutes, and the pain just went away. Kind of got that second wind and kept going. All of us in some aspect have something that we enjoy about running. Robert, I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. You know that, right, brother? You know I was just teasing you, right? There is pain in running. Distance, running away, or whatever the case is, there could be some pain in running. And as we serve the Lord, there's going to be disappointments. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be the death of friends and family and loved ones. They'll always be part of the Christian life. But sometimes we forget it's also part of the life for unbelievers as well as it is for non-believers. Pain comes to everyone. But the difference is, as believers, when we're running this race, we have the Spirit of God to comfort us. As we talked about this morning, the Holy Spirit, we have the comfort of knowing the great physician that even in our pain of running the race, running where God wants us to run, during discomfort, during difficulties, during fatigue, he's there to comfort, encourage us, and to help us along our way. There is pain in running. And as believers, we must not be weary in well-doing because one day we shall reap. Let's jump over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6:9. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. You know, sometimes the blessing is just right around the corner. It's just a matter of hanging in there and knowing that God has something for us. I remember when we were serving overseas on the mission field of those years of ministry, it seemed like it came to a point where things were going so well. You know, it's scary when you live with someone for a long time and holy, wonderful, bliss matrimony that you can finish each other's sentences. Or you look at each other. You look at each other and at the same time you say, oh boy, because you know what's coming. And I can remember often on the mission field, things are going so well, and us looking at each other and thought, oh man, what's Satan going to do tomorrow? Because we know it's coming. And friends, just realize it. But here's the advantage that we have. We know it's coming. We're prepared. We're not going to put up with this nonsense. We're not going to listen to the gossip. We're not going to listen to the yappy, yappy, yappity yap. We're just going to go ahead and keep serving the Lord, keep running this race, because this is where God wants us. God hasn't changed his mind. I don't need to doubt. I'm just going to keep running the race. I'm going to keep serving the Lord because I know there is a place to run and there is pain in running, difficulties, hardship. But guess what? I'm just going to keep serving because eventually I'm going to get my second wind. Eventually it's going to go away and God's going to take care of it and we're going to move on to the glory of God. Bottom line is, folks, if you're in the race, as I've heard somewhere, I don't know who said it because I don't want to give them credit in case it was worldly, but hey, I don't know about you, I'm in it to win it. I'm in the race to do the best that I can. I may not run as fast, jump as high, swim as quickly, or hold my breath as long as I used to, but I'm still want to keep moving for the Lord. There is a place to run. There is pain in running. And then number three, there is a need for patience to run well. There is a need for patience to run well. Anybody afraid to pray for patience other than me? We're afraid to pray for patience? The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. But some, you know how it is, we Americans. I want patience. The Lord, give it to me now. You know, it just doesn't come that way. It comes through hardship. Sometimes it comes through the difficult, the pain of running. But I'm talking more about the patience. Hebrews 12:1. I'm also talking about the patience of waiting on others who are watching us run. Sometimes we get a little impatient. We want to see people saved right away. Or we want to say, why aren't they responding? Why aren't they coming? No, we got to be patient and keep serving, keep ministering, and keep waiting. Because, see, we're not the one saving them. The Lord is. And he's the one that has to woo them. And we just keep serving and doing our part as the Lord works in and through their life to draw them and not to get in too big of a hurry. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, again, getting back to that running, getting back to those trainers, those athletes. Now, I mean, when they're swimming, I mean, they shave their heads, their arms, they wear masks. Those that are running and all the things that they do, all they can, they strip off any extra weight, whatever they're doing, all that they can to get that little extra speed in what they do. And we as believers have to ask ourselves, are there any worldly things that I'm holding on to that I need to shed? Are there anything in my life that the Lord has been whispering and nagging at me, that sweet Holy Spirit, that I need to get out of my life that I might better run, that I might better serve him? Dear friends, we need to understand that there is a need for patience to run well, and sometimes that means the Lord working on us and working through us and in us. See, it is so easy to quit the race, but God will honor those who stay with it. Those who press on. Those who press on through the pain. Even maybe some ridicule that we may go through because we carry our Bible to school or to work. Or some ridicule because we correct someone when they say something maybe they shouldn't say. No, we've gotten away from that. We live in a world today where people throw out language that was unheard of when I was growing up. But yet sometimes we need to, and it's necessary to speak up. But as we run this race and that need for patience and forbearing that we talked about a few weeks ago, you see, some have thought or maybe even have told the Lord, as I mentioned before, about wanting that patience and wanting it now. Dear friends, God is in control. I'll be honest with you. I want to continue to see the Lord work so bad, literally, I ache. Literally, I say, Lord, please continue. Don't stop what's going on. Let's continue to see folks come in. Continue to see folks visit the church. Continue to see folks join the church. And Lord, help us to see some folks saved. We got baptismal service coming up here pretty soon. Others that may need to be saved or others that need to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. I want to see all those time things, but at the same time, I've got to remember that maybe I need to take a step back, not be too pushy, not want to outrun the Lord. There needs to be some patience as I run this race well. And dear friends, how are we running again? Are we patient with those that are watching? Are we patient with those that are saved and unsaved? Are we realizing that Lord, that we're wanting the Lord to use us, but are we getting impatient because we don't see results because we want it now? Are we going to be just consistent and keep moving, keep reading our Bibles, keep praying, keep talking to people, keep inviting the people, keep coming to church, keep being faithful, keep serving and knowing that as others watch, and we'll get to that in a moment, and others observe, God in His timing is going to bless. In His timing. And when that thing happens, I can't wait to see what God does and just the floodgates open. Amen. There's a place to run. There is pain in running. There's a need for patience to run well. And then number four, there is a crowd watching us run. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. People observing and watching our life. They are, without a doubt. You know, Michelle was asking me today, we're talking, I made the comment about getting some new flyers and some new tracks, and the thought would come up about possibly maybe putting Michelle our picture on a track or a flyer to pass out so people will notice and see and associate us with the church and church with us. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. I don't know if I want to be that well-known or not. But you know what? It makes for good accountability when people know who you are. Think about that for a moment. It makes for good accountability when people know who you are and who you say you are, and they're watching to see if you're only pretending or if it's really you. And it's so important that we stay consistent and faithful because the world is watching. Let's look again at Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, dear friends, this great cloud of witnesses are encouragers. Are you an encourager? Do you understand and realize that we can be a tremendous blessing and encouragement to others? Can you hear the cheers for your service? Can you hear the aspect and thinking in your mind as I serve the Lord? There's angels and there's the Lord and there's a host of others that are going, hoping that we continue to run and to serve and do what's pleasing and honoring unto the Lord Jesus. I went to a ball game, took our daughter. I can't remember if I told you this or not. I got so tickled as we were watching the game. I got excited. I was standing up and I went a few rows back and we were watching the game. And later Michelle told me that Ivy leaned over. Michelle asked her, Ivy, are you enjoying the game? She said, yeah, but that guy down there behind the catcher, he's in the way. I can't see. How do we get him to move? That was the umpire behind on play. She doesn't understand the game. She's 6 years old. If that guy would move, I could see so much better, Grams. Yep. Is there any part of us that is shielding and keeping the world to see Jesus the way that they should? Are we standing in the way in any aspect? If the crowd is watching and observing the game of life that's going on, our Christian service, are we standing in the way? Or are we ushering in, allowing people to see Jesus, to see the cross? Are we living in such a way to be transparent as we can and allowing people to see Christ in us? Or are we just a roadblock or a shield or something that's blocking the view of seeing? Think about that. Man, I got so tickled when Ivy said, well, if he would just move, that guy down there, I can't remember, was he wearing blue that night? If he would just move, I could see so much better. I wonder how many people could see Jesus better if we just got out of the way. that we can be in the race and still get out of the way. We can run our race and stay in our lane, do what we know what we're supposed to do, and at the same time, make sure that we're reflecting people back to Jesus. See, there's a crowd watching us. In fact, I'd like to think that not only when I'm preaching the Word of God, that the people of my congregation, loving on their pastor and listening and smiling and saying amen once in a while, I like to think also there's a Heavenly Father. There's a host of angels that are getting excited about the Word of God being proclaimed through the Harvest Baptist Church. That's being proclaimed through this community. And we as well, as we run the race, a host of angels, the Lord Himself, cheering us on. And if other people are watching and we're serving with the aspect of the Lord cheering us on, would it make us serve a little bit different? Would it make us run a little bit different? Would it make us walk a little bit different? I tell you what, it would sure help me to linger a little longer and be a little nicer at these four-way stops for me, old me, stepping on my own toes. But isn't this something as we serve the Lord? Number five, there's a place to run, there's pain in running, there's a need for patience in running, there is a crowd watching us run, and number five, there is a prize in running. There is a prize in running. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 9, back to our text, and back to verse number 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, probably there in your bulletin if you still have it. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Think about that. I've never been to a track and field event. I've never watched the Olympics on TV where they all knelt down, got in their blocks, got ready to go, and the gun was fired, that everyone took off except one. He just stood up and just watched. There's a lot of Christians doing that. The race is going around and we're just standing and watching other people run. It would make no sense for them to do that at Olympic Games. It would make no sense for somebody to get up there at baseball, Brother Tommy, and hit a home run and rock it over the fence and not drop his bat, but just stand there and just watch it go and then walk out to the dugout. No, you got to touch all the bags at home plate or it doesn't count. You're out. But I wonder how many Christians are just watching. Spectators, but yet the Lord wants us to run because there is a prize. So think about this. With Christ as our trainer, why not run? With Christ as our provider, why not run? With Christ as our encourager, why not run? Harvest, we are in a race. Are we running well? Let's not be lazy. And I add a little something. And let's not be average. A couple of things here and we'll be done. The average Christian sometimes is clearly aware of the race and other times not so sure. The average Christian sometimes is active for the Lord. Other times they are inactive. The average Christian sometimes practicing, other times just laying out. Sometimes controlling the flesh, other times indulging the flesh. Sometimes running in the right lane, other times drifting into another lane. Sometimes keeping his eyes on the finish line, other times glancing away. Folks, do we have our eye on the prize? Are we keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus? Are we more concerned about what I'm doing and how I'm serving as opposed to looking over to see if someone else is running their race well? Am I fighting and beating the air because I'm more concerned about others? Or am I fighting the good fight knowing that the devil is out there tempting me, but I've got my focus, I'm in my lane, and I'm going to continue running and serving the Lord? Run, Christian, run. The race is on. Are we in it or are we a spectator? Are we watching or are we involved? Michelle, why don't you come to the piano? Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have a simple word of prayer and a short invitation tonight. If the Lord's spoken to your heart in any capacity, we have so many needs in the church that's growing. We have needs in a sheet out there about needs in the church and how you can serve. I just want to encourage you to find your lane and run your race. And when again, that run doesn't mean a sprint. It's a marathon, it's a walk, it's just moving in the direction that God would have you to move at your pace and as God would have you to serve. So I ask you tonight, if you're where God wants you, are you serving in a capacity where God would have you to serve? Let's pray. Father, you know the needs that are represented tonight, and you know the heart and the condition of your people. Father, things are getting so excited here at Harvest, and I don't want it to stop. But Father, there's more to do. There's more to be involved. But Father, as we serve and as we move forward, Father, we need to continue to fight the good fight. We need to continue to run the race, Father, to stay in our lane and be that source of encouragement to those around us, and always be aware that there's always others watching. And Father, help us to be conscious about pointing others toward Jesus. We ask in his precious name, amen. As our pianist plays and the Lord has spoken to your hearts,